Those separate lives were soon to converge when the five British members of Monty Python found themselves all writing for the Frost Report, with John also making his name as a performer. Michael Palin.
Of course, in the middle of this, along comes the call. In fact, I think I remember very vividly being down, as I say, in Terry's parents' house and hearing from Jimmy Gilbert, who was the producer of the Frost Report, asking us to come on as writers. So then we had another thing, which was sort of writing little jokes and gags. And that started, I think, in about May 66.
John Cleese.
And I came back safe in the knowledge that Mr. Frost wanted me to join these two people called Ronnie Barker and Corbett. I don't feel I'd ever heard of, course. And all the performers, and Mike and Terry and Eric, I were all there around the table. And suddenly I was in show business, and that took me from, let's say, March 66.
So how did the Frost Report happen for you? Who recruited you?
Well, then, I think Tim Brooke Taylor came to me and said, why don't we write something for the Frost Report?
Eric Idle.
So we went to Lord's. We sit at Lord's writing to write material. And you could either write sketches, which is kind of harder to get in, or you could write what Frost called CDM, which is continually developing monologue, which I think John and Grandpa Lodgeril, old jokes and ridiculously irrelevant links, which is very funny.
Michael Palin.
But generally speaking, one-liners for David Frost very much appreciated. That's what was needed. So, you know, the basic, really, the kind of grazing material was Frost's what was called CDM, continuous developing monologue, and I think that's mainly what we wrote. And then Terry and I wrote a few little quickies, which were just sort of like 5-10 second pieces, and then gradually we wrote slightly longer material, usually films, little film things like that. But no one was writing that sort of stuff. And like what the judges' playground was one. Court will adjourn. What do judges do when the court adjourns? Ah, let's see what can happen. And the judges go out, and then at the background, there's sort of playground, and they all go and swings and woo down the slides and all that sort of stuff. And so our reputation, I think, as writers, came to be, it was generally as writers of these little short sort of wacky little films. Because the script market was largely taken over by these two, Cleese and Chapman. And they just used to write such good sketches every week that, you know, everyone was floored. And there were a few other people did them, of course. And Ronnie Barker did some monologues and things like that. Cleese and Chapman were king of the sketches. And Terry and I said, made this little niche for ourselves as doing short film pieces. And then gradually got a bit more confidence and wrote more sketches. And in the second series, we were, you know, not equal output to Cleese and Chapman, but certainly sort of consistent sketches as well as little films.
Eric Idle.
And then pretty early on, we won, I think, the Montreux, Golden Rose. And one of my jokes was on it. I remember that. On the clip. It was on the BBC News. Because it was a karate joke about this guy, and he chops it and his hand drops off. It's the blade, and it's like he's there going, oh. And I thought, I got a joke on the news.
On the news.
I know, how brilliant was that? I'm 23, you know, yeah. It's really good. Yeah. And then we met Marty Feldman, who was only a writer.
As Jones and Palin's confidence grew, so their involvement in the Frost Report developed. Jimmy Gilbert, the director of the show, was always keen to take their advice and respect their ideas. Terry Jones.
I think it was also interesting seeing ideas done well and not done well. Sometimes, you know, Jimmy Gilbert was very keen to take our ideas about how, because we were doing visual things, he was very keen to take ideas about how to do them. And And he'd ask us very closely about what we meant in such and such, and how do we see this? How does that? How do we do that? How what does that look like? So it made us think quite rigorously about the visual side of it. You know, I remember ringing us up once about we got I can't remember, it was something where the cavalry, we had 24 people on lawnmowers, on, you know, motor lawnmowers, coming to the rescue, like sort of the cavalry for some reason, and Jimmy ringing up and saying, "We've only got half a dozen. Is that enough? Do you think that'll do?" And we said, "Well, no, I think you need a few more than half a dozen or something to be the cavalry." And then there was another. I think maybe in the same scene we'd put in just to frighten Jimmy, because he was always we put in, you know, sort of 100 Zulus come over the skyline or something. Jimmy ringing up said, "Do we need 100 Zulus?" We got him on that one.